Welcome to Gay Geek Bizarre Show, episode 13, and it's a Tuesday, August 2nd, 2016. I am Nard.
And I am Ray.
Yes. And how are you, Ray?
I'm a little under the weather.
Hey, you sound like it. You kind of feel like it when we went to dinner today.
Yeah.
What's wrong? You must be the Austin trip, wasn't it?
I think it was swimming naked in Lake Travis. I think that did it.
I see. Okay.
I think there was like some vagina amoeba that swam over and got in me, and it's like making me sick. So
really? Or it could be dick amoeba.
I don't think so. I've never had a problem with dick.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, last weekend you were in Austin, and I didn't know there was a bear thing there. I didn't know. There was
I didn't know either, but apparently half of Houston was up there for it, it seemed like.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I took my Ian out for his birthday to Austin as a surprise. So we did that, and I drove to Austin. There was one thing that I wanted to see in Austin.
What?
And that was the Casita Lowell.
Oh, the houses.
The house thing. And I wanted to see that. And then after that, I said, okay, whatever you want to do. So we can drive up to Fredericksburg and do the scenic route. We can go swim in Lake Travis, or we can go find something else to do, whichever you want to do. And he was like, oh, let's go swimming. So I was like, okay. So we went to Hippie Hollow.
Hippie Hollow is a, it's like a 18 and above, right?
It is 18 and above.
But because there are nudity, there's nudity.
There's nudity beyond a certain point.
No sex, though. Just nudity.
Well, no lewd behavior.
No lewd behavior.
I noticed people walking around in the woods. So I couldn't say what was going on up in the woods.
But there's nothing like just running around, walking in the woods, wearing sneakers and a pair of shades. That's it.
You get chiggers that way.
You get what?
Chiggers.
Chiggers? What's chiggers?
They're things that make you itch.
Oh, really? Okay.
Uncomfortable, yeah.
I've done that before. I've done that in the Hollover Beach before. It's a beach, so I only had shades, and I was walking around by the beach, just with shades.
Well, I didn't plan this too well, because I didn't think about taking... Luckily, I had sunscreen in my bag, but I didn't think about taking a cap or water shoes, because them rocks at Lake Travis are rough.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
That made my pitties hurt. So,
yeah, so... We should not forget the big occasion last weekend, because somebody got engaged.
I don't know how much he's announced that yet.
Huh?
Did he announce it on Facebook yet?
It's on Facebook, yeah.
Oh, did he? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Congratulations to Dave and Jason for...
Yay!
Yeah, for, getting engaged last weekend while nude at Hippie Hollow.
I don't think they were nude at Hippie Hollow. I think they did it somewhere else. Oh, but they did go Sunday to the beer event at Hippie Hollow.
And they did go there, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I was there Saturday, not Sunday.
Yep. So. Mm-hmm. Okay, so last weekend I also was out of town. I was out of town also because
You've been out of town pretty much for 3 weeks straight.
I know, and I'll be out again for a couple of weeks. But what I'm saying is, last weekend was special. Oh, because I got to watch Star Trek. I got to watch Star Trek at last.
Finally.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I liked it. Highly recommendable. Mm-hmm. It's one of those. It's not as good as first and the second, though, but this is pretty good, too.
I thought it was better than the first ones.
Oh, really? Yeah. You did? Okay.
I'm glad J.J. Abrams kind of let it go and let somebody took over. I like the action and what's going on in this one.
Okay. It's just weird that Harold was there, but without Kumar, according to Mike.
Uh-huh.
I thought that was funny. So also last Sunday, I got to watch The Cult and Guns N' Roses. When was the last time have you ever seen Guns N' Roses play before?
No, never wanted to either.
You didn't like it?
I've never been a big Guns N'
Roses. It's pretty phenomenal. That Saturday was really awesome.
I mean, that's 80s music, and I try to forget as much of that as I can.
80s music is awesome. That's always good. But anyway, so that's our weekend update, I guess. And I guess we can... move forward to our stories. This is an interesting gay story, Ray.
Yeah. Okay. So this isn't necessarily gay, but it does affect the gay community.
It affects you.
So
it affects you, right?
But it's an interesting article, and I just copied some of the article over here, so it might be a little bumpy.
But it is from Gay Geek Bizarre on Facebook.
It is on Facebook, yeah.
Okay.
John Doe was a student at George Mason University when he met Jane Roe, a woman who he formed a BDSM-based sexual relationship that culminated in an assault on or around October 27th, 2013. Roe, who played the submissive role, alleged in court documents were both assigned anonymous. They were both assigned anonymous names. That on the day she pushed Doe away and did not want to continue, but he did because he alleges she did not use her safe word.
Oh.
This past March, the Virginia federal court in which Doe versus Rector and visitors of George Mason University was heard made a historic leap in an American case law as it relates to sex. They ruled that there is no constitutional right to engage in BDSM play in America. While no U.S. lawsuit currently criminalizes BDSM, it is still a crime to harm others, regardless of whether they consent. It's a puzzle that places acts of BDSM in a legal limbo. How do you legislate and define consensual safe practices that are designed to sometimes look non-consensual and dangerous?
Yeah, like play acting or role-playing.
Yeah. It's not so simple. The consent to harm principle stands for good reason, because the law exists to preserve the public peace, not just to protect us from one another. We all have an interest in preventing people from settling their disputes by fighting and dueling. Equally important is that laws against consensual harm provide vital protection for domestic violence victims, who often tell police that they don't mind such abuse. Prosecutors need to be able to bring charges against abusers even when the victims don't cooperate. This might seem like a non-issue because people are rarely prosecuted for engaging in BDSM, and police generally enjoy a strong relationship with the kink community. The majority of run-ins between the BDSM community and the police have been minor and positive. Corrine Grace, a marriage and family therapy professor at University of Nevada, Las Vegas, and a 20-year BDSM scene veteran, told Vice. In general, she concluded the BDSM scene has taken it upon itself to educate law enforcement bodies as to the ins and outs of the subculture. Now, this is real true. This is one of the things about BDSM that's always been in limbo, which is why people write up contracts to explain the type of play so it's very clear what's going to be going on and this, that, and the other. And if you want it to stop, you have safe words and stuff like that. And I've always assumed that that happened was because it gives you some legal control over, like, okay, here's what we said is going to happen. They signed this document knowingly saying, agreeing to this. And then all of a sudden, it's not what they wanted.
See,
which they could have ended just by using their safe word.
Yeah, that's true. But then it turns out, according to this, that even though if you have those contracts, it's not. It doesn't seem to be legal because it's still in the eyes of the society. It is harming other people. That's why.
Well, the law says it's harming other people.
It's harming other people.
But with that document, it says it. You're consenting to it, even though that might hold up in court, but it is saying you're consenting to it. It's something that you know about. You've discussed that. You've read this, and you're signing a document saying, hey, this is what I'm agreeing to.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming that because they didn't mention anything in this, that didn't happen with this couple.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But here's the thing that it's always on that issue of, like, where do you stop and where do you start? I mean, and a lot of people that's like, oh, I want to try to BDSM, and I ran into a bunch of them that won't ever do it again because they had a bad scene. And it was like, well, is it a bad scene because there wasn't good communication? Because not everybody has, I mean, I don't have contracts with people. Yeah. I mean, it's something that if I went into something long-term with somebody, yeah, it'd be a contract and we'd lay something out and everything would be like, okay, this is what you're responsible for. These are your role, blah, blah, blah. These are what you're consenting to.
Mm-hmm. But that's the point of this. Yeah. I read you just said in an article. It's not that simple.
It's not that simple.
It's not simple. It says here, simple. The consent to harm principle, which is, it's a consent.
Yeah.
That you, even if you have those documents saying that you are, that it's a, that yes, this is the boundaries of our pain infliction.
Yeah.
And this is what you're going to do. And we need this safe word. Fine. That all in good. But it looks like it's still not. Bound because
well,
what
it's
this
not
is
no,
saying,
it's not a binding document, but it not. Also gives you. I think it shows the. I think it would show the court that this person understood what they were getting into.
Yeah, so it's saying here that the consent to harm people principle stands for good reason, even. If,
but here's the other thing:
because the law exists to preserve the public peace, not because it's not just because the two of you, but it's also the society or the people around you seeing this act, this activity.
Well, you know, I'm all about F society.
Yeah. Oh, come on, Ray. Don't bring that. That's out of the... Come on. Stay on the
topic. I know, I'm just messing
okay.
with you. But that's the whole deal. But there's also a whole bunch of BDSM that involves no pain or anything whatsoever. It's all servitude. So where does that fall into it?
Yeah, it turns out it's illegal.
No, it's not illegal.
It's saying that...
Well, there's no pain or infliction. I mean... They're domestic slaves that people come in and they do all this work for you and clean the house, and there's no exchange of sex or pain or anything.
Okay.
So there's a whole bunch of other stuff.
Yeah, it's true that there are no laws against BDSM, but it is a crime to harm people. That's the bottom line. But of course,
if it's a crime to harm people, is that why you can't spank your children?
To harm others regardless of whether they consent. It's a puzzle that, yeah.
Because I never consented to my parents whipping my butt, but they did it all the time.
But was it really painful?
Yeah.
Really?
There were a couple times there were bruises.
I don't know about that.
There bruises and stuff got left.
Mm-hmm. So, actually, what happens is, if that happens, then it is illegal. Yes. I don't know.
But that's what this whole arc of talking about is, how vague the law is about it.
That's the point, yes. It is vague.
That it is vague.
How do you do this?
And how do you do this? And it really goes into that. And it's, you know, and there's... I've sat on a couple of seminars and stuff during the things here talking about the legality. Well, I guess they weren't really seminars. It was just that people were just talking.
They're workshops.
There were workshops, and people brought up, say, well, what's the legal ramifications of this? Mm-hmm. And they were saying, well, you're still taking a risk because this is still not the normal accepted behavior. But if people are educated about it and they understand, then people will understand what's going on, so they don't see it as domestic abuse. Like in Preacher, this season of Preacher, one of the women that's in his congregation, her husband was beating her, and the preacher went to go, and the kid told the preacher, oh, he hurts her all the time. Well, to come to find out, they have a sadomasochistic relationship, and she likes it.
Oh.
So, I mean, that's one of those things, too. It's like you got to understand where everybody's coming from, and that's kind of hard to...
It's all in context.
It's all in context.
That's right. Okay, so
what do y'all think about that?
Yeah, let us know. Let us know. What do you guys? If you're listening to this, are you into BDSM? And if you are you ever have you ever thought that what you're doing? If you are the inflictor, or you're the what do you call it, the sir? What's the
you're
term
either
for
the
this?
Giver or the receiver?
The giver or receiver. So if you're the giver, do you sometimes worry about the ramifications of what you're doing? Well, normally you don't.
Well, no, yes.
It's consenting adult.
Well, no, you as a dom or a sir or whatever you want to call it, you have to consider the ramifications of what you're doing to this person. How far you're pushing them, mm-hmm. the method that you're using and what you're doing to them.
Yeah.
And whether you're physically hurting them, whether it's more mental pain than there is anything, or what's going on. I mean, you have to walk a fine line to push boundaries, but also make sure that person is taken care of and they're actually okay.
Yeah.
So it's a very fine line that on both sides.
But the article is just saying that it's technically not
legal. Yeah, but technically there's no legal protection for you. So.
Okay. So let's move on to our next gay. It's pretty sad, but I never used this. I never used gay.com chat rooms.
I used to. Back in the day when I first moved to Houston, that was the Yahoo chat rooms and then gay.com chat.
I remember the Yahoo chat rooms, yeah. Okay.
Because so, gay.com was like maybe a year or two after, or like 2000.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Probably back in the 90s, I guess. Okay, so end of an era. Gay.com chat rooms are no more as of today. Gay.com, the once thriving website that catered to gay men looking to hook up, is under new management as of today. I don't know which day today. Was it yesterday? And some
it was
pretty
as of August 1st.
As of August 1st, and some pretty big changes are underway. Gay men of the late 90s and early, oh my God, that's us. In 2000s, early 2000s. Surely remember hours and hours spent glued to their desktop computers, hopping from chat room to chat room, messaging guys, scanning photos, then sending them alias email addresses. It was the original Grindr back then, yeah. Well, now, according to the site, these iconic chat rooms will now disappear as of August 1st, 2016. All the personal information you provide in your profile, including pictures and stories, will be permanently deleted. I'm sure it's part of the EULA there, that they can do whatever they want with the data. The page continues. Unfortunately, you will not be able to retrieve any of your old information. The dating website, as you know it, will not be coming back. So what's it going to be? Like showing, selling?
I don't know. Maybe gay.com is taking on a whole new, it's not a dating site anymore. Maybe
it's just a new site.
A new site or something like that. So
honestly, we haven't logged on to gay.com. I haven't.
I know. That's why I'm like, I'm glad it's being deleted because God knows what I had on there and what. Username and password was. But.
Yeah, even the author says he hasn't logged in for a whole decade. I haven't even looked at it. So nobody even remembers his passwords. So maybe those people that you favorited. I don't even remember using it.
I used to use it all the time when I first came to Houston. I remembered the Yahoo chat rooms. And then if I remember on gay.com, you could log in and you could be in one chat room at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd log in and you'd like go on mail for mail chat room or... So, however the chat rooms were listed, and you'd go in there, and there might be 10 chat rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one was always the first one that was created that night. And then as so many people got in, they'd bump and create another one. And you'd always try to get in the first one because that's where all the conversation, all the hot guys were.
Yeah.
Because all the other ones, like the farther down the chat, male for male chat room you got, the less conversation was going on. It was just a blank screen. So nobody was chatting.
I see. I remember back then, IRC chat. IRC chat, they had Gay Manila. There's a IRC chat for Gay Manila. And
Manila has gays.
Yes, some of them are gays. Some are lesbians too. Yeah, so it's interesting that it's going away. Good God.
It's kind of like when MTV started up and the first video was Video Kill the DJ.
Mm-hmm. MTV. No, yeah. Wait, video? Music video.
Music video killed the DJ. What was that? What was the first video? Video killed the DJ? DJ Star? Video killed the DJ Star? I think that was the song.
Okay.
Because I saw video that pop. Because MTV first kicked off this day 30 years ago. I saw that on Facebook today. And I was like, God, it's been 30 years.
We're old. Well, you're old.
So, or 40, maybe it's 35. Maybe it's, no, it's got to be older than 30 years because we got it when I was like 15 is when cable. No, it was, I was younger than that. Cause when did cable. Urban Cowboy was the big movie when we first got cable on HBO. It was the first big movie.
95?
No, that was, this is 80s.
In the 80s even?
This is 80, oh, I this is 80s. Know. So that's got to be somewhere. And MTV was out then because I remember sitting there and watching it because they used to actually play videos on MTV.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they called it music television because they would play music videos.
Not anymore. They're all reality TV now.
Teen mom pregnancy bullshit. And
yeah, that's true. Okay, so do you want me to take this geek because it's about hard drives?
Yes, you can be the
geek. Okay, so guys, how much porn do you have that you need this much data, this much space on your hard drive? Holy. Okay, so the key geek here is the world's largest SSD, solid state drive, is now shipping for $10,000. Well, we'll see. So, even with today's latest SSD, sometimes you just need a little bit more space. That's where the Samsung PM1633A SSD comes in, clocking in a massive 15.36 terabytes.
That's all.
Sounds small, but that's really big in the SSD world. So such power comes at a price. And with pre-orders for the 15.36 terabyte behemoth coming in at around $10,000. That is if you just want one drive and all your porn in one place. So the 15.36 terabyte size is not only the largest SSD ever made, but the largest single hard drive ever, finally breaking the 10 terabyte barrier that spinning disk drives seem to be capped. 10 terabytes, there is a hard drive out there that is, you know, one of those old style, not SSDs, that are 10 terabytes. So the drive's small size and huge capacity mean that you'd be able to outfit a standard 42U server storage rack with 1008 PM1633A for a cool 15. Oh my God, that's a lot. 15,482 terabytes over 15 petabytes. Oh my God, this is crazy. Oh, what are we going
to
do with this?
What have pedophiles got to do with terabytes?
So, but while the PM1633A is primarily designed for enterprise customers for use in data centers or large server systems. Well, if you're a big company, yes. If you had
Google, this is like, okay.
Yeah, that's probably peanuts for them. Oh, well, sure, let's have some hard drives that's really fast, so it would serve up your searches really well. Good luck filling in that space. Yeah, so that's a lot of space to fill in, and I don't think I can.
Remember back in the day when Star Trek The Next Generation come on, and they were talking about how big the hard, how much information the Enterprise computer could hold, and they were talking about terabytes.
Were they talking about terabytes back then?
And we were like, oh my God, that's so...
Wow.
Such a large amount, and now it's like nothing. I mean, I just bought a new computer with two terabyte drive on it.
Yeah. So how is it? How do you like your computer now?
So far, so good.
Yeah. It's pretty fast. I'm jealous. I feel like I want a new machine myself. So. I probably upgrade one of my computers here or reinstall Windows 10 on it or something. But yeah, and you got it for a good price, and it's got 2 terabytes, and I don't even know how you're going to fill that up. Are you going to – is it easy for you to fill up?
I'm sure I'll eventually get it full, so.
Yeah. You know what? I'm thinking if I'm going to get videos, it has to be very high quality because by the time I'm almost filled up the 2 terabytes, if you ever have that space.
How many high-definition movies would a terabyte drive hold?
I have to do the math because let's just say – are you talking about Blu-ray?
I'm talking about high-definition video.
Coming from a Blu-ray drive, yeah. That's 25 gigabytes. That's around 25 gigabytes per movie. So 1 terabyte, that's 1,000 gigabytes divided by 25 gigabytes.
I don't have my calculator out.
Yeah, I don't have my calculator either. Math is hard. Anyway, so yeah, doing the divide.
You're supposed to be able to do that easily.
So 1,000 gigabytes divided by 25 gigabytes is equal to 40. What? I'm sorry. Divided by 25. Yeah. Is that right? 25. Yeah, 40. Yeah, that's right. 4 gigabytes, 25, 100, 40. Yeah, that's right. So you my math right?
So you could have 40 movies on a terabyte drive.
That's right.
Without compression.
Yes, that's right. So, but then if you compress that with the state-of-the-art compression technology, if you can reach about 6 gigabytes high-definition videos. Or I think you could reach about, I don't know how much is 4K, how big is 4K, but if you're going to do high-definition right now, that's about 6 gigabytes, 4 gigabytes, something like that. For an hour, for each hour. So yeah, you can fill it up. Okay, let's move on because that's too much math for me. I'm sorry, guys.
On to the bizarre.
Go to the bizarre.
So many Australians are claiming Jedi as their religion that it's becoming a problem. A battle over government, religion, and Star Wars is brewing in Australia. I wonder how Disney weighs in on this. The country will hold their national census on August 9th, and a group of people is begging their fellow citizens not to put Jedi down as their religion. Here's the problem. On the 2011 census, that takes place every 5 years, 64,000 Australians put Jedi down as their religion, an increase from 58,000 in the 2006 census, according to the Brisbane Times. Numbers like that put Jedi right behind Sikh on the list of religions in the country. It seems unlikely that all these people are truly believe themselves to be actual Jedi. And most of them make the claim as a harmless way to declare their Star Wars fandom and give the government the middle finger in the same time. However, a group called the Atheist Foundation of Australia is leading a campaign to get people to stop making this joke. Their reasoning is that when officially counted, Jedi gets classified as a non-defined religion instead of no religion. When that happens, they believe it makes Australia seem more religious than it really is, which again doesn't sound like a problem. But data on religious affiliation is used for public policy, city planning, community support facilities, and more, according to this cute infographic. The AFA is concerned that if the government tabulates more people as religious, they'll aim policy and tax dollars that way instead of accurately serving the atheist percentage of the population. It seems like a pretty big leap for Australia's officials to gear policy and planning toward religion because a small percentage of people play a joke. But it's not unfathomable, and that's why the argument is so interesting.
Yeah, it is.
So basically they're saying, all right, we got all this religious people, and say somebody comes in and wants to build, recreate the Ark. And because the religious population is so large in that area, the government says, okay, you can do that. So they spend all this money and get all these tax breaks from the government to do this, and then nobody shows up for it because actually nobody's actually religious there, and they don't care.
Yeah.
So then you got this big monstrosity sitting there, all this money that's been wasted on public, because public stuff does have to go there. Streets, water, sewage, all that stuff that has to be piped in, all that. It all affects that. So this is what they're saying. Don't be putting Jedi down.
It may be, it sounds funny. I could see a lot of Americans who do that, but it's a good thing it's not part of it's not in the census, I guess. Yeah, it is funny, but that they actually put Jedi and just to play a joke. But look at the statistic. How many is it? 65,000?
Mm-hmm.
64,390 Australians put Jedi down.
Yeah.
What can we do if you do
that? But they didn't say out of how many, because I don't know how many, what the population of Australia.
Still, that's a big number, though.
That's a big number.
No matter what it is, because it's, remember, for the president to address anything, you need at least 25,000 signatures.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing as this, similar to this, but this 64,000, it has to be addressed.
Yeah.
Or it needs to be noticed. And right now, it's being counted as a religion because you have. It would turn out, although it's a joke, statistically, 64,000, it's a big congregation.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see in the next, because this, you know, the census really affects a lot, and people joke around and don't do it and don't think about it, but it actually does. Like, the next census will be changed, because this last census, the whole thing about gay marriage came up. And it's like, okay, I'm in a non-married relationship, male to male. How do I put that on the statistic, on the census report?
Mm-hmm.
Which, a couple years later, all that data came out, and everybody's like, oh, my God, the numbers are actually higher than what we thought.
Yeah.
So now, in the 2020 census that happens.
You're going to have actually married.
Married, male-male, mm-hmm. married, male-female, yeah. married, female-female. Wow. And hopefully they'll include, are you transgendered, whatever, all that stuff.
That's going to be a very interesting.
Because that's a lot of that data goes up to what makes policy and what programs are initiated with the government and stuff like that. They look at that and the states go back and get all this data and businesses like Planned Parenthood get all this data and they know how to market their stuff to the population or where they service and what to look for and everything. So
to market or to channel their funds or whatever their budgets.
Yeah.
They can do that. I mean, this is going to be interesting. A very interesting census. When is it going to be?
In 2020. If Trump doesn't get elected presidency and the apocalypse happens.
Oh, okay.
So.
Well, the apocalypse is not going to happen, but do you think he's still going to do it, though? No. Probably he will.
God, let's hope not.
All right. So I guess.
I have to go back to that article I did the other week about moving to Canada.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Did you update your passport?
Not yet.
Oh, then you can't. You have to vote correctly then. Vote, everyone.
I'm sure. Don't boo. I'm sure vote. I can find a Canadian Asian to marry me.
Oh, I know a few. And Mike would be very jealous. Okay. So I guess that's it. Thank you for listening, everyone. So a special thanks to Cesar for posting on our Facebook page for the great articles on facebook.com/gaygeekbizarre. If you want to contact us, send your emails to show@gaygeekbizarre.com.
Or if you want to call and leave us a voicemail, call us at 281-947-2327. That's 281-947-2327.
Yes, and We haven't had a voicemail for some time now. And
have we ever had a voicemail?
Not yet. Okay. We're still waiting.
So y'all need to ramp it up here and call in.
Yep. Okay, and also, yeah, follow us on Facebook. Yeah, facebook.com/ GayGeekBizarre. Also, we're on Twitter. I haven't been updating Twitter, but we've been uploading to SoundCloud and Google Play. Well, it's available on Google Play. And also, you can find the show on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. And go to the official website at GayGeekBizarre.com. Thank you for listening, everyone. Bye-bye.